The Museum of Modern Art in Manhattan has closed its doors. It isn't gone, it's just undergoing a 3-year renovation. So instead of going dark, museum officials decided to move to the borough of Queens, home, among other things, to Shea Stadium and the New York Mets. Karen Michelle reports.
Arriving at the number 7 local stop to MoMA's new temporary home is nothing like taking the F train to Fifth Avenue in Midtown Manhattan. Just down the stairs from the train platform, instead of Tiffany's and Bruno Malli, there's a produce stand, a Dominican diner, and a check cashing place.
No argument there. Absolutely no argument there. It's very different.
Pete Omler worked with the registrar at MoMA for 13 years. Now he's the manager of art handling and preparation. Since he was responsible for moving the art, Omler was among the first staffers to see the new space in Queens in a former swing line stapler factory.
The first time I saw the space out there, it was in its raw state. So there were large puddles of water, and it was a little spooky. It's hard to imagine what the space has turned into.
MoMA staffers acknowledged that they expect fewer people to venture to Queens than came to MoMA Midtown, but they point out there are other art centers in the area, and there will be more to see at the new location. Scott Newman was the supervising architect for converting the factory into a museum.
Since this was an industrial building, we weren't going to try to turn it into an institutional museum with marble floors and plaster walls, that the character of the building is actually expressed in the architecture and remains.
Newman wanted something more bones art than Beaux art. With Michael Maltzen, he created a space full of ramps and oversized doors suitable for the oversized works of sculpture in the collection.
These galleries are big enough, and the column spans and the floor loading capacity are large enough that MoMA could exhibit its 3 Richard Serras here, which it currently has no place to store or exhibit.
Serra makes steel sculptures of slightly bent arcs and spirals that range from 13 to over 30 feet tall. The gallery space in Queens, well, just about the size of the original MoMA's 3rd floor, is still larger than the entire Whitney Museum of American Art. MoMA chose the space not just for the size, but because it couldn't afford to go dark. Glenn Lowry is MoMA's director.
New York is a particularly interesting environment in which to operate a museum. It happens to also be a very competitive environment in which to work. And there are exhibitions we want to do, and if we don't do them, other people will do them. And beyond that, it's about profile. It's about the presence of our exhibition program. And if you're invisible for 3 years, you can't be there. And even if you're doing partnerships with sister institutions throughout the city and elsewhere, the fabric of what you're doing becomes frayed.
Lowry says it's also about claiming real estate and audience.
Tactically, I believe the growth in this city is in the boroughs, particularly in Queens and Brooklyn. And to be integrated into one of those boroughs, to be part of that fabric, means that we have a unique opportunity to build an audience there that no other institution in this city can touch. That's reason enough to do this.
Longtime MoMA staffer Pete Omler sees another immediate advantage.
We're traveling out of the city when everybody's traveling into the city, and vice versa at the end of the day. So it's very pleasant. I don't have to worry about a seat. I have a seat. And for any New Yorker puts in a 10 to 12 hour day, the seat on the subway is a bonus.
MoMA QNS for Queens opens in late June. The inaugural exhibition is designed to draw people out of the city. It's called Auto Bodies. It's the Jaguars and Maseratis in the museum's collection, cars the museum's never had space to show before. Cars in much better shape than those in the auto body shops in the neighborhood just outside. For NPR News, I'm Karen Michelle in New York.